Good evening. Tonight I'd like to primarily discuss the inyan, the minug of not eating basar, meat, and not drinking wine during the 9 days. It's a minug. The only real isser against meat and wine is in the Suda Mafsekes. In a year when Tisha B'Av falls out on any day of the week other than Sunday, so that Erev Tisha B'Av is not Shabbos, so then there's a inyan to have a Suda Mafsekes, a meal right before Tisha B'Av, which we're very limited in general how much we can eat or how many different types of food we can eat. But amongst the limitations are that there's an issur to have meat and wine. That's considered to be very, a big affront and almost rejection and a display of total disregard to the Avelus of Yerushalayim to be sitting on the Sudam of Sekas right before Tisha B'Av, which we typically eat on the floor, and et cetera, and be eating meat or drinking wine. That's considered to be a davar chamer. That's awesome in Adin. This year, with Erev Tisha B'Av being in Shabbos, that doesn't apply. And as we'll see later, you're allowed to have basar v'yayin. But then regularly, that's the only issur. However, the minug is to extend the restriction earlier, certainly during the Shavuot Shel Chalbo Tisha B'Av, and at least according to standard Ashkenazic practice, and even in many Sephardic communities as well, the issur begins at the beginning of the 9 days. There are those that are matir, especially amongst the Sephardim. There are those that are mekel on Rosh Chodesh itself. They'll eat meat on Rosh Chodesh itself, and they'll only begin the Isser on the second day of Av. The standard Ashkenazic practice, the meaning is that even on Rosh Chodesh, right, we don't have meat and wine. And so that would begin, this year Rosh Chodesh is Friday, this coming Friday, so that begins at Shkia, begins at sunset on Thursday. There is a discussion, it's brought in Poskim, even if one is eating meat already in the middle of a meat meal, one has to stop. Unlike, say, Shabbos, when any Shabbos during the year, when you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah, but if you're eating a Suda that you began already on Shabbos, you're eating Shalosh Shudas, you're allowed to continue eating. And there are other times when once you began Behet, you're allowed to continue. But here it says that you shouldn't continue past the Zman, even if you started before. That's the way the post can bring it. In the Sefer Kovetz Halachas, the Pesachim of Shmuel Kamenetsky, he's Mekel Legabe Ben Ashmashos, meaning to say, if you began the Suda before Shkia, and you're not finished, you're allowed to eat up until Tzeisa Kochavim. Beyond Tzeisa Kochavim, he also says, you're not allowed to, you'd have to stop. But he's matir ben hashmashes, because ben hashmashes, as it is a suffik yom, suffik laila, and we're dealing with as I just explained before, not even an issur d'rabbanan, we're dealing with a minhug. So he's mekel that you could continue the suda till say, so what time is say, so it depends where you live. Over here, that would be, let's say, till, at least for this purpose, let's say to 35 or 40 minutes after Shkia, according to Shmuel, according to his Pesach, you'd be allowed to continue. Of course, the best thing is to plan your dinner for a little bit earlier. If you're having Filet Shechs on this Thursday, it's best to plan to be finished with the, certainly at least with the meat and the wine, if you happen to be having wine, before Shkia. Okay, now the minig is, not now. So the reason for the minhag, there are two reasons. But one is an inyan of simcha, that eating meat, drinking wine brings simcha. And the other reason brought is that it's because during this time of the year, when we lost the Beis HaMikdash and we were no longer able to bring karbonos. So since the mizbeach, the basar and yayin were commonly brought on the mizbeach. Of course, the majority of karbanos were animals, and there was nisuch hayayin, is a common thing on the mizbeach. And since that was nisbatel, so we join in the avelis and the tsar of the kibyochel, the tsar of the shechina that the mizbeach is in getting basar v'yayin by also eliminating basar v'yayin. However, even though according to either Tom, it wouldn't necessarily apply to everything that we call meat. For example, poultry. They didn't, at least the majority, chicken certainly wasn't brought on the Mizbeach, and just about any of the poultry that we eat wasn't brought on the Mizbeach. And
chicken is allowed?
No, but that's what I'm getting at, that even though it was not brought on the Mizbeach, and it doesn't bring about simcha either, when we say ein simcha lebasa, we mean basa behema, despite that the minhag is not to have chicken either. Anything that has a shame, basa legabe fleshach, basically, not basa dogim, you're allowed to have fish, but basa behema, basa oaf, are both restricted during the 9 days. And even something, if meat was cooked in with other food, as long as there's tam basar in there, meaning the other food is not shishim, you don't have 60 times of the other food connected to the meat, I'm talking about meat now specifically, if you don't have meat or chicken, I mean, as opposed to wine, we'll talk about wine separately, but if you don't have 60 times of food connected to the meat or the chicken, so then that's called a tavshil shel basar or tavshil shel oaf, and we don't eat that either during the 9 days. If there's more than shishim connected, then you take out the meat, you can eat the other things. Or if you pull out a potato from a stew where there was just a little bit of meat, and the meat is batel b'shishim and doesn't give any tam, you don't taste the meat at all, and the shishim against the meat, so then the other components would be mutter. But a regular chalent that has meat in it, where the meat is not batel b'shishim, or a stew, or any other tavshil like that, the din is that even the other foods cannot be eaten, should not be eaten, cannot be eaten according to this minhag during the 9 days. That doesn't include, however, meat that's made in a flesh chapat. The flesh chapat, which is, it has no meat in it now, and even if it's a ben yomo, even if it was just used for flesh, let's say right before the 9 days, or it was used to cook food, whatever, cook food for Shabbos, and now you want to, and now you cook something else in it to eat on Erev Shabbos. So even if it's a ben yomo, so that it has a certain level of tam that's considered to be going into the food, but that already is not usser. You're allowed to have that part of a food. There's an interesting shaila I saw about, let's say you have a piece of kugel, which is wrapped very well in aluminum foil. It's wrapped, and so nothing, no meat or anything is going to be able to seep in. It's wrapped very well. And it's cooked in a pot together with meat. Let's say in a chalent, but we don't want to get into shalas hatmana here or draw any conclusions about hilchas hatmana. So let's talk about just the regular. For whatever reason, maybe for this reason, maybe you're preparing food for Shabbos for the 9 days, and you wanted at the same time cook a piece of kugel and say, but you only have one pot, whatever. So you wrap it up very, very well, and you put it into the pot with the meat. Is that mutter? So in other words, here the tam of basar is not entering the other food directly. It is entering the other food. We do say that tam could penetrate the layer of foil, assuming for sure if it's only one layer. If only one layer, so, and you cook meat against this with the same, you cook this wrapped kugel in a pot of meat, so the tam of the meat could get in, but it's getting in only through a keli, the keli being the aluminum foil. So is that the same thing, or is that different? So I saw Machlokas Poskim about this. I saw that in the Sefer, the Sefer Shoshanas Yisrael by Rabbi Mordechai Kanner from Toronto, he says that it's mutter to do this, it's mutter to eat this, and he has a whole discussion there, for those who, you know, learned Yeridea, he has a whole discussion that just very, very briefly, there's a famous, widely used concept in Yeridea called not bar not, no sin tam bar no sin tam, where tam goes from, let's say, meat into a pot, and then a pot into the other food. So, for example, if you cook noodles in a fleshach pot, so those noodles are called a not bar not. They're called a no sin tam bar no sin tam. They can have tam of the meat, but only tam of the meat, which is implanted into the kedera, and then And then the keder was used later when it wasn't, when you weren't cooking meat. It was used to cook the noodles. So it's no sin tam bar no sin tam. It's like a secondary tam. We said before that that's mutter during the 9 days. So no sin tam bar no sin tam is considered to have a certain level of flesh chatam, but not the highest level. So for example, I'm sorry. You mean if you cook it that way lechatchila?
Yeah, not.
Okay, well, we'll see in a second. Yeah, and I said I don't think he said specifically, but I don't think it would be machalik. So they say, by not Yisuf Heter said that we paskin, and the way Minhag Ashkenaz is that you should not by now. We're talking of assuming the pot is a ben yom, it means you cooked meat in a pot, and within 24 hours now you took out the meat. And you cook noodles, so are you allowed to mix those cheese into those noodles? So we pass that you're not allowed to with a kli which is a ben yomo, even if you cook it, or even if you cook the noodles already, you're not allowed to mix cheese into those noodles. If it got mixed in, you could eat it. Meaning somebody didn't know, or it fell in, whatever it was. Again, the noodles were cooked in a pot which was fleshcha pot, but clean, no meat in the pot. And even the pot was used for meat within 24 hours, and then those noodles, cheese got mixed in those noodles, so you're allowed to eat them. But you can't go ahead l'chatchila and mix cheese into those noodles. According to Bnei Sfard, you could even l'chatchila mix cheese into those noodles. Okay, but even the concept of not by not is a discussion in the Chavos Das and some other achronim that say that if it's not by not b'shas bishul, it's worse. What does that mean, b'shas bishul? Meaning, let's say there was, at the time that you're cooking the noodles in the pot, there's a piece of meat which is on the other side of the pot, not inside the pot with the noodles, on the other side of the wall. The noodles are inside the pot, and you have meat, which is hot meat, which is on the outside of the pot. So not per not b'shas bishul, the Chavos Das holds that that's worse, that doesn't have the cool of not per not. So Rabbi Kevin Shoshana as well says here that even like that, the whole discussion when he's going to say even like the Chavos Das, he holds it doesn't make a difference. Look, I mean, this halacha, and you see his reasons that this is not considered fleishchus legabe the din of the minhag of not eating meat in the 9 days. However, in the Rosh Moshe Kamenetsky sefer, Kovitz Halachas, he says differently. He talks about this exact case, and he says that such a piece of kugel wrapped in the foil, cooked with meat in a pot, should not be eaten during the 9 days. And okay, that's what he says. And then he brings Derech Agav. And this is a case which he brings a Maisa Shahaya, and I've also been privy to such Maisa Shahaya, where a person cooked had a wrapped package of what they thought was kishka, and wrapped very well in aluminum foil, and put it in a chalent, and cooked it, and said it. And then when they take it out, lo and behold, it's not kishka, it's fish. Gefilte fish wrapped in this aluminum foil, wrapped very well, and cooked in the fleishach chalent. So now we said that the tam can penetrate the foil. So he brings there a Shmuel Paskin that both the chalt and the fish are cannot be eaten. Neither the chalt nor the fish may be eaten. I'm not talking about 9 days, any day of the year, because each one has tam of the other. And it's not, even though if you cook fish in a flesh rapat, you're allowed to eat the fish. But again, being cooked with meat, even though it has the is wrapped separately, but it being cooked together in one tavshil, then that's considered the tam of the meat penetrates to the point where it asses the fish, and vice versa. Assuming there's no shishim, you know, neither one was shishim against the other, so they're both usser. That's what we paskin. And similarly, so he says similarly, by the 9 days, it's considered enough tam that it's usser. It's interesting, though, in the sefer Kovitz Halachas, there are numerous ha'aros from a Forsheimer, the chief dayanim in Lakewood, and Forsheimer says there that it's Yadu. He says Talmidei Mir know that that Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, Mir Shiva from New York, asked this shayla to Rav Moshe Tzal, and he said he was mekel l'gabi the fish and the meat. That he was making, he said that the kasha. There's no explanation there of the tzedim. Why yes, why not? But he says, Farshim says, you know, you do it, they get psak from Rav Moshe. He says, anyone in Mir knows this psak because Rav Shmuel Berenbaum was the one who got the psak from Rav Moshe. So he says, okay.
Is that basically just, basically saying
I think it could be saying worse than the Chavis. I mean, well, he doesn't quote. I don't think he quotes the Chavis Das there. The Shoshana Shvil Bavar is the Chavis Das. I don't think he based on the Chavis Das. I think he's just saying that this is considered already. It's cooked together mamish like this. It's considered one tafshil. It's not just. It could be. He's looking almost like it's like the foil is mamish, just like a klipa of the meat rather than being a separate keli. That's what I think.
How
does
the Chavis Das
being
dipped? How is that not the case mamish of the Chavis Das?
Well, because the Chavis Das is it's there's clearly a keli in between. There's no shalat. It's a keli. Here, this is more like a klipa, almost a klipa of the thing.
The foil is a type of keli.
Possibly right. Then it's cooked together. It has a shame of one tafshil. Okay. In any case,
The chush, it tastes just b'chush. It tastes like the chum. So.
Yeah, that's what Rabbi Kleinerman and Pirat the Sefer also claims. He says besides the fact that the halacha says it's time, he says if you eat it, you'll see this time. That's what he said. In the kugel. He wasn't talking about eating the fish. Okay, so that's as far as the tafshil shabasa. So tafshil shabasa, it's muskum not to eat. It's not the same adreg as meat itself. And maybe we'll see later about certain exceptions, people that have that need more of a leniency. They can't subsist just on milchix for health reasons, whatever. So there's a preference to tafshil shabasa if that'll do the trick over basar itself, as there is a preference to basar oaf over basar behema, if that'll, you know, if that's all they need. But lemaisa, generally speaking, that it's usher. They're both usher. Now, what about a tafshil shayayin? Means you cook a roast or whatever you cook with, and you add some wine into it, and the wine is, let's say, not bottle, but shishin. Maybe bottle by wine. Sometimes there's a different shear of shisha, but let's talk about it, even if it's not bottle, but shishim. So here again, there's a machlokas poskim. There in the Kovetz Halachas from Shmuel Paskins that you're allowed to eat that. You're allowed to eat that, even if it's not bottle of shishim and there's tam yayin in it, you're allowed to eat it. And he says it's different than a tavshish abasar. Tavshish abasar has a shame basar. You call this, it's fleishich. I'm eating fleishich. So I'm eating chalin. Excuse me. I took out the meat, but I'm eating the potato and the barley. I'm eating fleishich, it has a din of fleishich. But tavshil shayayin is not nikral shema yayin. If you make meat, or well, not, okay, meat is not so because it's meat anyway. That was a bad example. But whatever, you're fish. You're making some sort of fish with wine or some other thing like that. So you don't say, you don't consider it, I'm eating a wine, it's like a wine dish. It's a fish dish or whatever the main ingredient is. The wine is, even if it's not butl, and the tam is not butl, but it's totally secondary and tefil, and it doesn't take over the identity. It's not considered a wine dish as this is considered a meat dish. So he says that is a mutter. Mutter during the 9 days, and there's a tshuva like this from Rav Sternbach also, and the tshuva is van Hagos Chelik Beis Simin Reish Nantes. They say it is mutter. However, many other poskim disagree with this and say that as long as it has tam yayin in it, it's usher. Just quote four places that I saw. There's a sefer called Kolamis Abel Alehon. All the halachas here of these in Yonim. He's quoting the Piskei Rebbe Yashiv, printed in a different format, which I don't have. But he quotes from there that he says it's usher unless it's lo murgush ba tam yayin. If you can't taste the tam yayin, could be, I don't know if he means even if there is shishim, but you know that it doesn't have margush. But certainly, if it's the wine is the taste of the wine is noticed. He says it's usher. In the sefer again from Shoshanis Yisrael, from a canner, also asks it. Here we have there on also on opposite sides of the fence, but the machmer is mekel and mekel is machmer on this particular inyan. And Rav Shmuel Felder in his sefer also says that it's usher if this tam yayin, and so does Rav Simcha Binun Kohn in his sefer on these inyanim. What One point that they that a couple of places talk about, Rav Simcha ben Kohen and Rav Kander both talk about, what if there is wine in the mixture, in the whatever it is, you made something, let's say you mixed it into a dough of some sort, and it's batel, and you don't taste wine, but it makes a difference. It does change the taste. The overall taste of the thing is different. You can't necessarily, if you don't know that it's wine, you won't necessarily guess that it's wine. And if you do, it's just a guess, because it doesn't taste like wine, but there's a hecker to the taste. So it's not batel lagamri, in which we said if it's batel lagamri, even meat is mutter. But here it's not batel lagamri, but you don't taste wine. So what about that? So Rabbi Cohen brings from a couple of places. He brings both from Rabbi Yashiv and from Rabbi Nissen Karelitz that both said that that's mutter. That's mutter. That's considered already that it's batel enough. It's batel. It's a shot about that in your day also, like Rabbi Isurim, which changed the time, but you can't identify the taste at all. But they both say that the Gabi this that's already not considered tapshas hayayin, and that is mutter to eat. And then Rabbi Kanner brought that he sent the shayla to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who responded that it's usser, and also Rav Shlomo Miller, Chaim, who he quotes extensively, he says was mitzadeh. He was leaning to say that it's usser. He wasn't machle, but he was also leaning to say that it's usser. So okay, so we have three steps here. Again, we have those who say it's mutal gamri, even if you taste the wine. That's the Rav Shmuel and Sternbach. And we have many others who say that no, if you taste the wine, it's not mutter. Rabbi Yashiv and others say it's not mutter, but if you don't taste the wine, or at least you don't taste it as wine, you taste it just as something. There, Rabbi Yashiv was quoted saying it's mutter, and when Rav Chaim responded on that shayla that it's usser. Okay, so figure out how much, you know. It's probably not the best time of year to prepare that type of a dish, and other things to eat, Baruch Hashem. Now, when it comes to Shabbos during the 9 days, this year it's two Shabbos. So there's the Shabbos right at the beginning, Beis Av, and then there's Shabbos, which is technically the ninth of Av. So it is mutter to have meat and wine the entire Shabbos, and the entire Shabbos means from the time that you mekabel Shabbos. Even if you mekabel Shabbos early, you dive into the early minyan, and you go home, and you sit down and make Kiddush, and it's not even Shkia yet, that's okay. You're allowed to make kiddush on the wine, and you're allowed to have basar and basar behema, basar of whatever it is, and wine at the suda, etc. Once you mekabel Shabbos, you're allowed to have meat and wine. And huadin legabe, at least the regular Shabbos, not Shabbos of Tisha B'Av, but a regular Shabbos during the 9 days, or this year the first Shabbos, you're allowed to go beyond Shabbos too, as long as you're still keeping Shabbos. Just like, you know, a typical shalosh shudas in most, you know, many settings, in shul settings, and many other homes, goes beyond seis, it was certainly beyond shkia, and even beyond seis of kochavim sometimes, and you're still keeping Shabbos. So as long as you're keeping Shabbos, you're allowed to have meat and wine at your suda. And even if you don't normally do that, but this particular Shabbos, you want to take a sukkah, you're going to be going about a week without meat, from Shabbos till Shabbos without meat. So you want to, you know, or maybe pashut, you have leftovers from Shabbos, which you don't want, they're going to get wasted otherwise, or whatever it is. So you want to eat them shalosh shudas, you're allowed to eat them shalosh shudas. You should just know, though, that you're going to be fleishich then after Shabbos, and you cannot have fleishich at the Malava Malka, even Shabbos leftovers. No, that's so we're annoying. Lemaisa, Malava Malka, it's not okay to have fleishich. So okay, you can have it as long as you're keeping Shabbos. You can have it in Shalosh Shudas, but just be aware that you can't have milk in your coffee that night till much later. Is that what you want?
Answer my question.
Okay. Now, as there's a discussion, Achronim, what about on Erev Shabbos, feeding meat before Shabbos to children? Now, we'll talk soon about children in general, legabi meat, but granted, for a moment, let's say children, even certainly children, shegila chinuch, are not, for sure, not eating meat during the 9 days, so there are some akronim that say that it's mutter to give them food, fleishchos on Erev Shabbos, like Shabbos food, a covered Shabbos. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that you can only do that like an hour or two before Shabbos. If it's children that can't stay up for the meal, it's too late for them. They're going to be going to sleep before the Shabbos Suda. So then an hour or two, that's his lush, like an hour or two before Shabbos. He says in general, just stop to say, because it's Erev Shabbos, it's okay. That's, he doesn't agree, but it's karev to Shabbos, and it's this is ain't their Shabbos meal that they get. Hagamas is not Shabbos yet, but they get like a Shabbos meal during the summer. They can't stay up so late. So he says, then you'd be allowed to give them even if they get lechinuch, but they're not here to stay up for the meal yet at this hour. So then they could have fleishchs, you know, Shabbos foods. Okay, now when
they they're going to stay up, but the mice, they always get hungry at 5 o'clock.
No, then they shouldn't. No, it's not. If they're going to be at the Shabbos meal, then they should not do that. Okay, now I should point out here, though, other foods that are made for Shabbos are certainly okay, be totally powerful, okay, but that's pasha. But even leftovers, I said you can't have the fleishcha leftovers, but other things that are left over on the table, excuse me, you could have. There's a kugel that was served, and it wasn't cooked, not this kugel that we talked about before that was cooked with the meat. It wasn't cooked with the meat. It might have been cooked in fleishcha kelim, but that doesn't make a difference. Served with on a fleishcha table, together with the meat on the table, but it remained pariv that you're allowed to have, or the meat, the kugels and the salads and whatever else, even though people, you know, typically we look at them as fleishchas, and we discussed once in the Gabi, it's matzav of how fleishchas is it really considered. It certainly doesn't make you fleishchas, and even having it with milk, there are sometimes it could come off a fleishchas table and be eaten with milk, depending on if it was just left in the middle of the table alone, or if it was actually taken to someone's plate. But if it's certainly mutter to have that Motzei Shabbos or any time. I mean, you have to throw out the non-fleishcha leftovers, kugels and salads you can eat during the week as well. Even during the 9 days.
Okay, if now. Counting the child Arab Shabbos from a fleishcha actual, not the actual meat, like a potato from a child.
Earlier than the zman that you would give him. I didn't see anyone who makes the chilek. I mean, again, assume he's a child that's keeping the rest of the week. He's not having a tavshil shabbos. So then, no, I don't think that'd be okay either. Now, when it comes to havdalah, so havdalah, there's a discussion in poskim. Could you use wine? And if you could use wine, are you allowed to drink it yourself? But you give to cotton, whatever it may be. Lemaisa. The way we paskin is you could use wine. That Mishnah Berurah doesn't even bring down the idea of using beer or chamar medin or anything like that. We and the Archa Shulchan does, but halacha lemaisa, many say that the best thing is to use wine. In general, using chamar medina means a drink which is considered chashiv where you live. That's the rough translation, but it's very big shaila what has the status of chamar medina legabe to be yotzi havdalah, and it's not a good idea. In general during the year this it's not a good idea at all to make havdalah in anything but wine or grape juice. It's not a good idea to use chamar medina for anyone that can tolerate, who doesn't have a health issue with that, because there's a big machlokes in what's considered chamar medina. So even here, even havdalah during the 9 days, many poskim say one does not have to use chamar medina. It's okay to go ahead and use wine. Now the shaila is, though, if you have the option of a katan drinking it, is that better than drinking it yourself, or is it not better? So the Mechaber says that no. The Mechaber Shulchan says you make havdalah in wine and you drink it yourself. The Rama says if you have a katan shehigia lechinuch, you should give it to him. It has to be higia lechinuch. If he's not higia lechinuch, then his drinking it is nothing. It doesn't count. And he gilchir, and he has to be yotze. You know, the idea is you emotzi him with havdalah, or minimally with the bracha on the yayin. Because if you are emotzi him with the bracha on the yayin, let's say he heard havdalah before, and he wasn't even paying attention to you, and then you finish havdalah, and you want to get him, call him over to drink the wine, and he has to make a burpee guffin, then that's not good. Because to be yotzi havdalah, it has to be somebody who is yotzi with your bracha. At least your hagafin, if not your, the whole havdalah. So memela, it would have to be katan higila chinuch, who is and yotzi with your havdalah. Then the Rama says, if you have that child, a child like that available, you should give it to him. Otherwise, drink it yourself. So now, even there, there's a machlokas poskim if you should how to conduct yourself, how one should conduct oneself. But there are those that say, like the Rama, I saw quoted from Rabbi Yashiv, strictly like the Rama, yes, that if there's a katan shegiel chinuch, should give it to him. And even so, he goes so far as to say, let's say there's a katan. Now, so lechatchila, I should be more clear. Lechatchila should be a katan shegiel chinuch of brachos and avdala, but not higiel chinuch lehisabel al churban. So what is that age? What's called? So higiel chinuch, stand for brachos, is 6 or 7. It could depend on the maturity level of the cotton. you're better off closer to seven, you're better. But the higiyah l'chinuch of l'sabel is already not clear. It's very unclear. So some say seven, some say eight, some say nine. It's very unclear what's called higiyah, you know, what's the age of higiyah l'chinuch l'sabel. So the chatchila, you should supposed to be giving it to a kohen higiyah l'chinuch, but not higiyah l'chinuch l'sabel. So it's very hard to define exactly what that age is. So they bring from Eliashiv and so from the stipler that even if he's higiyah l'chinuch l'sabel, better than drinking it yourself, better than having a gadol drink it, even if there's a 12-year-old. Give it to a 12-year-old to drink, if he's the only katan available who's old enough. So give it to a 12-year-old to drink rather than drinking it yourself. And I think I believe I saw one of this from the Yes Rav Chaim Knievsky. Like, what's the pshat? I mean, once he's a gil higiel esabel, so what's the difference? He's also chayiv, so he has you have more of a chayiv, he has a little less. So he said because bismaneinu now even by 13 years old we're not higiel lechinuch not higiel to the gil esabel. Meaning, unfortunately, we don't have the proper appreciation of the avelus of the churban. So certainly a child. A 12-year-old is not, even if the Svarim say, like I said before, 7, 8, 9, but my name, it's much more than that. I think I might have said it last week. I once heard a very, very, very hush of a person say that he would estimate the age of Higiel Chinuch L'Sabel nowadays is about 35. I think I said it last week. Yeah. So I saw Stipler Shtickelsmach, he said at 13 is still not Higiel. I mean, Ruchaim said this, explaining why his father said to give it to that a child. So, okay, that's what they bring from Eliashiv. However, I saw from many saying that not like this. Many paskin that even if you have a katan, you drink it yourself. For various reasons. In general, it's a mila to drinking it yourself. And many say, and the Ramah himself is maskim, you're allowed to. The Mechaber holds that way, the Chatchila. And even the Ramah is maskim that you're allowed to. So many say just do it. It's just better just to drink it yourself and not to give it to a katan. So the Ramah say either way you go is okay as long as the katan is a gil. You have to get the chinuch. If there's any question, it's not the gil chinuch. Don't do it. Excuse me. Or if it's a girl, if there's only one available of age is a girl, you don't have a boy available who's a gil chinuch, but you have a girl. So that Rabbi Yashiv says it's not kedai. Don't give it to a girl because there's a general minhag of that females, women, girls don't drink havdalah wine. That's only a minhag, but he said better to be shomer on that minhag. And here now this is also a minhag not to drink the havdalah wine. And you're allowed to if you need to. So better to be shomer on the standard minhag, the year round minhag of not giving it to a girl, rather than being makpid on this minhag and then he agrees to drink it yourself. So if you do have a boy, you zigiyah l'chinuch. Then either way you do it is okay, but as I said, but you have to make sure again it's something he's going to drink. I mean, if you use real wine, he might not drink it. Or he might not drink a shear. He has to drink a shear. So if it's grape juice, okay. But even then, you have to make sure that he's going to drink a shear and not just take a sip of it.
Would you better drink grape juice than wine?
Even
for me?
No. So if you make it every week in wine, I would say no. If you make it every week. Still make it one. The minig is not to drink both of them during the 9 days. Maybe wine is more chama than wine, but lemaisa minig is not drink either one. So if you would normally do it on wine, I would say still do it on wine.
You have normally
grape juice. Yes, no. I mean, if you don't have to change during the 9 days. Now another shaila I saw is how much. Let's say you're drinking it yourself. Even how much do you drink? Do you have to be mitzamtzem only to drink the shear? What's the shear? The shear is a malugmav. It's not even a revius, rov revius. Now you're going to get yourself into a problem with the bracha chrona then. Normally it says, on a regular Moshe Shabbos, davka, don't do that. Don't drink only a shear mitzumtzum because then you'll have a suffik bracha chrona. Because to make a bracha chrona on a mashke, to lemaisa, go ahead and make the bracha, you have to drink a revius in, let's say, one or two swallows. But once you drink even a kazayas, and a kazayas by liquids is approximately an ounce, 1.1 ounces. Once you drink a kazayas of liquid, it's already a suffik bracha chrona. That applies to anything, orange juice, water, milk, and wine. Once you drink anywhere between a kazayas and a revius is a suffik bracha chrona. Less than a kazayas, for sure, there's no bracha chrona, but less than a kazayas, you're not Yotzei Avdala. And a revius and on, for sure, yes, bracha chrona. But between a kazayas, which is like about a third of a revius, and a revius, it's a machlokas, it's a shayla. So normally, by Abdullah says, don't do that. Make sure to drink a full revius so that you can make a bracha chrona. So legabe the 9 days. So the different Malkiel says you should drink, I only saw it quoted, I did not see it inside, but says you should drink a Shir Mitzumtzum. Now, I don't know, even though I unfortunately just saw it tonight, so I didn't look it up. I don't know if he means Mamish Mitzumtzum and not even a Revius, so that, and what do you do about a Bracha Achrona? Either don't make one or eat something else, eat some raisins and make that bracha achron, or eat some cake and make mayan shalish, and then you conclude if you eat a kazayis, a cake, and you drank a suffix shir of wine, when you have to anyway make mayan shalish alamichya, you could add in the wine part. That's year round. That's always a rule. Many people do that by a kiddush. You know, they take a little bit of wine. It's a suffix bracha, but they're having cake, so they'll drink, they have cake, a little bit of wine, make alamichya and alagefen. It's okay. Once you have to say the nusach shem malchus, because alamichya, you're allowed to add in anything else that's a suffix, and you don't have to worry about a hefsek. So maybe that's what you would do, you know, Motzei Shabbos. I don't know if the Divrei Kiel meant mamish that, mamish mitzumtzum, or you just meant drink one revius, which is the amount you're supposed to drink every week, for this, you know, because of a suffix brachas, and not more. Al-Kopanim, he says to drink a shir mitzumtzum, and, well, so again, if it's a melol lugmov, well, let's just start with revius. Revius would be approximately 3 ounces. According to the final version of the Kol Dodi Haggadah, when it comes to the Rabbanans, which this is, a Revius is really 2.9 ounces. The original version was 3.3 ounces, then he downgraded it to 2.9 ounces. There are those that say a little more, but let's say somewhere around that number, around the 3 ounce number. If it's only a Mulugmav, it's only a bit more than half of that.
What does that mean?
Mitzumtzum means, what's really... not just specific, but very exact. Limited. Yeah, exact, limited shear. So then it would be not you just a little bit more than an ounce and a half. You know, not too much more than an ounce and a half.
Could you have in mind the new bench for Malav Malka to cover the Geffen?
It's an interesting question, but
it's not ideal anyway.
It's not ideal because it's not considered part of the meal. But Elamai, it's true that if you bench on wine, if you just drank a cup of wine, you bench to be yotzei b'di'eved. So if you had no other eitzah, let's say you don't want to eat cake or you don't have cake or whatever is here, you know. So and you drank only a rov revius, then that would be an eitzah at least have a kavanah behedja, but you have to kavanah beferish because otherwise it's not going to. Okay, but yeah, that would be a shtekel eitzah. But anyway, so Rav Shmuel Kamesi disagrees lahalacha with this Divrei Malkiel, and he says that. That it's okay. It's okay to drink the entire shir. The medaman in the sefer to the heter. He says the heter is like a suddis mitzvah. I think the Divrei Malkiel is learning like it's only heter of as mitzvah itself, not as like you know the simcha of. And I think Rav Shmuel in the sefer says it's more like heter of eating at a suddis mitzvah, where you don't have to. You're allowed to eat meat at a suddis mitzvah, assuming, and we can't go into all the rules now, but assuming it's a bona fide suddis mitzvah and you're a bona fide guest at it, let's just say you're the Messiah, okay? Avoid all the problems. So you can definitely eat meat and drink wine. You don't have to be makpid only to eat a shir mitzumtzum. You're allowed to have as much meat as you want and drink as much wine as you want during the meal because it's also the simcha. So I think he's learning that that's the heter by Havdalah too. It's not just the als mitzvah. It's als mitzvah, it's okay. Just do the mitzvah and stop. But if it's also it's like simcha shabbos simcha, then you're allowed to have, so therefore you'd be allowed to have more. Let's just talk quickly about children during the 9 days when it comes to eating meat or not eating meat.
Does Rebbe prefer that you drink revius?
That's what I've always done in the past. I'm not sure if I noticed this Divrei Malkiel before, to be honest. So what will I do this year? I probably will still, because if I don't drink a Vadi Revias, I'll probably be questioning. It's easy to make sure you drink a Rov Shir, but drinking a whole Shir. I probably will drink a whole Shir, to be honest, but I don't know. Okay, now what about children? So Lemaisa, it's brought that with a number of the things during the 9 days, we're makbid certainly on children higil achinuch, but even on children shelo higil achinuch. Again, certainly if they're higil achinuch stam, but not even if they're not higil achinuch lehisabel, if somehow you can identify that interim state. But even lo higil achinuch at all, there are many that say that we're makbid on various aspects of the 9 days, including not eating meat. provided though that it's something that's not going to affect them. See here, they're always very careful, very careful when talking about eating and drinking issues with children whenever it comes to halacha, where it's all shalav chinuch, to be careful, make sure that you're not overburdening them or not changing their diet in a way that's going to be detrimental to their health. So with very small children that are eating baby food or things like that, there's no shayla, you're allowed to give them the regular fleisch, whatever you normally give them, or pieces of chicken. You know, kids that are really, really small. Once a child is already a bit older, 4 or 5, etc., and assuming that they're not being deprived, that they eat you always said it's a fight, it's a struggle to get them to eat a little bit of meat, and you come get them to take a few bites, and they'll do okay 1 week if they eat a little bit more cheese instead or whatever. So then that's recommended, and many people can say that should be the practice. And certainly older children who are gilachinuch, and who the refraining from meat will not affect them, should be taught not to have meat during the 9 days. Now, in general, again, even a child that's older, if he needs it for a diet, he's a very shvacha child or very picky eater, and certainly there are children and adults as well, but who have a very limited diet. There are those that can't eat any dairy products. Some can't eat fish. Some can't eat eggs, and they're extremely limited. So with a child like that, there's no shaila that they're allowed to have meat. Now, if chicken will do the job, then limited to chicken. But if not, if either they can't even eat chicken, or they can't, they're not going to eat, you know, 9 days in a row or whatever, an entire week from Shabbos to Shabbos to just eat chicken, it's not going to work, and they need a variety, so then you're allowed to. And the truth is, even with adults, an adult who is on an extremely limited diet because of choli, because of whatever it is, definitely might want to discuss with the Rav a specific situation, but certainly we're talking about minhagim here. As we said before, up to the Suda of Sekhar, Zogim and Hagim, so B'makam Choli lo Nagu. If it's going to depriving, I remember once a person asked me, he had just had open heart surgery just a couple of weeks before, and he was Shvach, and he needed meat. So, you know, there's no Shaila, a person that needs the meat to get back his strength after a, you know, a serious operation. If he needs it, it's definitely Mutter. And even if he could eat fish, but it's not going to be the same, or he can't eat fish. He's going to, you know, he's just not going to eat enough fish the whole week, because how many fish meals can he have? So when he really needs something like that, okay, it's good to discuss with a rav the specific case, but in general, it's mutter, and certainly for kids, it's mutter. And one last thing, I did see that Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky says, as a rule, any child, even a gil achinuch, you can give them chicken. Because we said before, chicken is not really part of the ikar minug. The ikar minug, I mean, should have been, but both reasons, simcha and of bittul karbanos, don't apply to chicken. So he says, chicken you can give to children, even a gil achinuch. I don't think that that's the minug at all. I don't think that we do that, or many people do that, but it does say in the Kavod Salachas that that's mutar too. Next Thursday, Tuesday, next few weeks there won't be a shir till Elul. However, next week, Thursday night, I'll be giving the shir, the mishmar, even though it's been, I'll be giving a mishmar on the halachas of Tisha B'Av, which comes out on it's nidcha to Sunday. So that's going to be next Thursday, probably be about 9:30.
No shir Tuesday, shir Thursday.
Sorry?
No shear next Tuesday.
Right. So there won't be Tuesday now for the next number of weeks.
But the
will be Thursday.